the salt.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning there, folks. Coach Dave. Coach Dave Live, Pass the Salt Ministries. Man, I got a guest for you, J6, what they've been doing to us. They are, oh my goodness, you don't want to miss. But let me give you a real selfish plug here real quickly before we go live here with my buddy Isaac Yoder. You have got to go, when you get a chance, go to CoachDaveLive.com. That's my website. I do a morning show there at CoachDaveLive.com. This morning I did a program on 911. It was 22 years ago today, folks. Are we going to forget what happened? And because Isaac Yoder has to go to jail for a year, they say, it all began on 911 22 years ago today. So CoachDaveLive.com, the show that I did today, is going to expose all of that to you, how they lied, how they got the Patriot Act in place to do all this mess that they're doing to us now. You hang in there. We're going to come back with Isaac Yoder, who has been sentenced to jail for a year for doing nothing. Hang right in there. We'll be right back.
Freedom of speech is a basic human right that has been hard won and granted to all law-abiding Americans. As such, we should not take our freedom of speech and expression for granted. This is more important now than ever before, since world governments and the mainstream media often try to suppress those whose opinions differ from the so-called official narrative. Here at FridayOnStore.com, we are dedicated to fighting for every American's right to speak their mind without the fear of censorship or suppression. That's why every purchase you make at FridayOnStore.com supports our pro-liberty video sharing platform, Frideon.com, so we can keep bringing you all the latest unrestricted videos mainstream media doesn't want you to see. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at RideOnStore.com today. With so much of the world's current food supply consisting of dirty, contaminated, genetically modified foods that may have been grown using herbicides and pesticides, increased scrutiny over what you put in your body is of the utmost importance. Even supposedly organic foods found on most grocery store shelves may contain toxic substances, chemicals, and other additives that can be harmful to your health. That's why here at BrighteonStore.com, we subject all our in-house products to extensive lab testing for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology using our state-of-the-art spectrometry equipment to ensure the highest quality of cleanliness and purity. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
So as a lot of people say, Coach, you're full of it today. I really am full of it today, friends. I really am. And I'm torn in a couple of different directions because it's 911, 22 years ago today. And I did my morning show on that. So if you want to have some more information on that, go to CoachDaveLive.com and watch my morning shows. We talk about all that whole thing was fake. 911 was all fake. The towers coming down, that was all set up. If you still believe that stuff, I don't even know what to tell you. And it got us to the point where we are today, where the Patriot Act, where they can come and snoop on you and snoop on your emails, declare you a terrorist and take away all your liberties. That started 22 years ago today. And one of the victims of what started 22 years ago today is a guy whose birthday, 37 years old today. Is that what you said, Isaac? 37 today? 35, whatever. However, his birthday today, And he has just been, he's recently got a lot of attention because he appeared on the Gateway Pundit, did a story on Isaac, been sentenced to 1 year in federal prison for basically doing nothing. And I want Isaac to, I wanted him to come on with us today and to tell his story of exactly what a railroaded trial he went through and how they are, dare I tell you, friends, they're after Christians. We can, you can call it whatever you want to. They're after Christians, man. Bible says you smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. And that's what they're doing. They're smiting shepherds all over the place. And Mr. Producer, if you could pull up number two real quickly, because I want to look at this dangerous terrorist that our government said is out to overthrow our government. Isaac Yoder, who's a locksmith. There he is. A locksmith. He looks dangerous, doesn't he, friends? Huh? Boy, he looks dangerous. Locksmith's going to overthrow America. There he is with his wife, Kelly, and their three wonderful children. And the government wants to put him in jail for a year for doing nothing more than dressing up like a patriot and walking into the Capitol. Isaac, we don't have a whole lot of time. We got 20 minutes left here and 22 minutes in the next segment. Without getting into it too deeply, let's you just start telling your story, Isaac, of exactly what your government and my government, my tax dollars are being used to put you in jail. Not only that, Isaac, your tax dollars are being used to put you in jail. And the truth of the matter is you haven't gotten a free trial. Tell us your story, brother.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, thanks so much for having me on today. This is very important because this is how we fight back, because the main problem here, as you know, it's an information war. And the trial, I believe one of the main problems with my trial was the fact that, yeah, technically it was public. If you're there at the courthouse physically, you can walk in and look at the trial, but it's, you know, it's, that's all it is. And so they just, it was so, they went through the motions. They brought in witnesses that had nothing to do with me. All they were there for was to bring in all this hype of all this supposed rioting. And I was surprised because I had more respect. I still, you know, I know things are bad, but I thought that in a court of law, when you actually cut through all the stuff and you're actually in court, they would finally kick some of that out and say, well, actually, now we're in court. You can't just do whatever you want. These witnesses can't just, you can't just pull anybody in and have a bunch of political hype. We got to talk about, did this person or did they not break this law? And that's not what happened at all.
So Isaac, let me stop you a second, because I interrupt, because I've interviewed you before. So they bring in witnesses, they bring in government witnesses, and they show what the insurrection happened, and this guy talked about what happened to the police and all that stuff, and they painted this horrible picture of what all you guys did, and then said guilt by association. Isaac's guilty too, because he was there when they really had no evidence against you of anything that you had done wrong.
That is absolutely what they did. That is absolutely what they, yes. They said there was a rainstorm and he was one of the raindrops. Simple as that.
So, Isaac, on your birthday, why are you dressed like this, Isaac? Tell us what you did when you went to Washington, D.C. on January 6th, whatever year that was. What did you do? Did you go there to overthrow the government, Isaac?
No, absolutely not. You know what? I dress this way because I love our country. I love our founding, fathers. I'm so inspired. I just, every time I read about them, you know, anytime, you know, you get back into that, it's just like, wow. So for years, ever since I was about 11, 12, somewhere in there, I've been very interested in the founding of our nation, and I've loved to dress this way. And, you know, specifically when I went there, January 6th, we'd also been there on November 14th for Stop the Steal rally.
By the way, you live in Missouri. You live in Missouri, yeah. So people know this wasn't across the street for you. You went a ways to get there.
Yeah, no, it was a trip, but you know, it was fun to, you know, to get out there and go. And so I dress this way because dressing this way already says so much. You don't even need to say anything. You go there dressed like this. And what it, first of all, what it says is I am a patriot I love our country. This is not some sort of a rebellious or seditious or insurrectionist garb in
the United States. You're not dressed like Antifa, are you? You're not dressed like Antifa.
This does not say I hate authority. This says I believe in biblical authority. I believe in the Constitution. This says I respect our government. I am in its lawful sense, you know. I believe in law and order. There's so many things that this says just by me going there this way. And, you know, I'm really not this, you know, I don't have a way with words like some people do. Some people are just, well, my thing is I can dress this way and I don't, you know, I've already said so much without even saying anything. And so that, you know, when I went there and when I went all the way up and into the Capitol, I was very confident that it would be understood why I was there, what I was doing. And I know that, honestly, I know that they did understand that. They knew exactly what that was.
Everybody knew you were a good guy, didn't they, Isaac? The cops knew you were a good guy. Everybody. And when you were in the Capitol, people wanted pictures taken with you. You're standing there holding a flag, being proud of being an American. They all got your message, didn't they, Isaac?
Yes, sir. They absolutely did.
So tell us what happened then. You ended up in the building. We don't have 4 hours here. I don't mean to hurry you, right? You ended up in the building because why? They opened the door and said, come on in, right, Isaac?
Yes. Yes, they did. And you know, I was very confident going in that was, for me personally, that was fine. They allowed me to go in. You know, I wouldn't have gone in if I had felt like they didn't, you know, weren't allowing that. You know, I had to walk right in front of the law enforcement there to get in. They were perfectly
allowing
that.
The cops are standing right there, and you walk in your garb with your flag, and nobody comes up and says, sir, you're going to have to leave. You're not allowed in here. The policemen are standing right there, and no one tried to stop you.
That is correct, yeah. What I saw going up there was, again, from my perspective, what I saw, they had everything under control. There were their police lines. Nobody was combating them. Nobody was fighting with anybody. They had their police lines where you can go here, but you can't go here. It was very clear to me, and this just cannot be overstressed, very clear to me that they had the situation under control.
Did we drop him? There you are. There he's back. There he's back.
Yeah.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
The one was trying to.
So
call
you knew they had it under control. In fact, Isaac, you said to me that during the trial, they actually showed video of you saying, "We're peaceful. We don't riot." Go over that a second.
Yes, and that this is a crazy one. This just shows their brazenness to say, we're going to do what we want no matter what the facts are. So there's video footage of me up there saying, we don't riot. We don't do bad things. We keep the law. They have this little clip there, audio clip. They played it over and over in the court. And the whole clip was a little longer, but that's the condensed. At my sentencing just 3 weeks ago, the prosecuting attorney brought that back up. She quoted what I said, and then she says he was egging on the rioters. And it's so clear. It's like, here I am saying, we don't riot. Like, guys, we can't do, you know. And she says that was egging on the rioters. And she said, Mr. Yoder's explanation of that just doesn't make sense.
So in other words, she said, here's what he said on tape, but don't believe him. He didn't really mean that, right?
Yeah. Well, also just basically saying it's an in-your-face saying basically in the face of clear exculpatory evidence that clears you, we're going to play that and then we're going to find you just as guilty as could be. Watch us do it.
And they did it.
And they did it.
So Isaac, let's paint a picture of who you are here real quickly, right? I mean, you've always been, I've known you for probably 20 years. Happy birthday today again. And I've watched you grow up a little bit, and you've been a you've been a guy that's not been afraid to go to the streets and stand up for abortion and all that kind of stuff. And so in your mind, this is just another thing to go stand up for our country and stand up for what's right. And if they would go back and check your history, you're not a guy that's getting thrown in jail all the time or causing all kinds of nothing. No history at all. And you show up dressed as a patriot with an American flag, and somehow they deem you a terrorist. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, that is that's what they see. Yeah, it's because, again, those who we know it, those right now who are going to, they're looking for the people who are going to take a stand for our country. And they're like, that's the enemy. You know, and I guess I didn't even realize how sometimes you feel like, well, we know they're doing this, but they're trying to be a little bit secretive about it.
Right
now, they're just out in the open.
And you did you feel, Isaac, while you were in the trial, wasn't an unbiased judge, right? The judge wasn't there to referee. The judge was there to direct the band. Would you say that?
Yes. Well, during the because during the testimony where we had, you know, they had their other witnesses up there, like the one who, again, he testified all this stuff had nothing to do with me. And my attorney kept objecting to his testimony because, again, it was just a bunch of hype. And the judge, he just overruled it. No, I want to hear the story. You know, he would even throw in his own two cents about what he felt like happened. He's like, oh, he said this. The police weren't letting people in. They were just overwhelmed, you know. And it's very inappropriate because it's like you weren't there. I mean, that's your opinion. But my goodness, you weren't there. This is a trial. We need to look at the facts for what they are, not just a bunch of your opinion, you know? And so it wasn't good to hear that.
They weren't interested in the facts. They had already made up their opinion, and they were going to find you guilty of that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, what he said was, this was at the sentencing, he brought up all the riots that happened during 2020 because, you know, people have brought that up saying, hey, what about this? And he said, well, January 6th was way worse. He basically just saying, you know, whatever. 2020 riots, big deal. January 6th was way out there worse. Then he did admit, I didn't handle any of those, you know, riot cases, which who has? And they just kind of let him go anyway. But he admitted he didn't handle any of them, but he knows that January 6th was worse. And in his mind, it was, but he either, there's only two options. Either he doesn't know, or he knows, and he's just being extremely dishonest.
He's certainly either not way, unbiased. He's certainly not unbiased, right?
Which,
by the way, folks, that's one of the guarantees of our Constitution, our God-given right, is a right to a speedy trial, jury of your peers. Now, Isaac, you could have had a jury trial, but you decided, no, I'm not going to do one. I'm going to have a bench trial, meaning the judge is going to be able to rule on this. Why did you choose that, Isaac? And do you look back over and say, golly, maybe I'd have done better with the jury?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, obviously there's that chance, but the reason why I didn't was just the obvious reason that, you know, the jury pool in D.C., it's been completely corrupted.
Nobody's won yet, have they, Isaac? Has anybody won in D.C. yet? Anybody won on any of those trials?
Not with a jury. Yeah. No, there was one acquittal at a certain point of somebody, and it was, I do believe it was a bench trial early on. But there was, you know, no jury has just found someone not guilty. And so my thinking was that this is such a highly politicized, high emotion case that at least with a judge, you're dealing with someone whose profession is in the law. And maybe they will look at the law for what it is, just that study of law and the study of kind of how things are supposed to be. And especially with a case like this, where you just have such obvious wrongdoing in the system, obvious overstep, and, you know, that especially a judge who's practiced this for so long would look at that and go, wow, I can't handle this. This is terrible. And they would at least have enough respect for our law to do the right thing. That was my Hope going into that with a bench trial. And so
maybe the judge would at least know how the system works, right? And at least understand real evidence from fake evidence. You'd think a judge would maybe have a good shot with that guy, right? That nobody with a clear mind could look at this evidence and think that you did anything, except he probably didn't want to be the first judge in Washington, D.C. to let a J6er off. Could that have been an impact, you think?
Yeah, it could have been it. I mean, it's hard to say exactly what it is. It's confusing because you look at it and you're just like, why is he doing this? You know, my opinion of the trial, with all the stuff that went on in the trial that was inappropriate, as far as them bringing evidence that they shouldn't have, you know, or, you know, fake evidence, I still thought it went well, because at the end of the day, after the trial was over, I thought, well, what did they prove? They didn't have any evidence.
Let me stop you, Isaac, because I think this is really important for people to say. They didn't produce any witnesses that stand up there and said, Your Honor, I saw Isaac Yoder break a window. Your Honor, I saw Isaac Yoder encourage others to be violent. Your Honor, I saw Isaac Yoder bust down a door. No evidence by anybody at all in your trial.
Yeah, exactly. That is exactly right.
And so you were found guilty. Guilt by association. These other folks are breaking windows. These other people are breaking doors. So Isaac's guilty too. That was it, wasn't it?
That's exactly it. And even if you stand up and rebuke behavior like that, you're still guilty.
So, oh my goodness. Folks, this is, Isaac, a few months ago, I was there on January 6th. And, there before the grace of God go, why they haven't come after me? Why they could come after anybody. I heard somebody said to me today, Coach, here's what they do. They arrest somebody and then they find the crime. They didn't like the way Isaac looked. So we'll arrest him and then we'll find the crime. And that's kind of what they've done to you, have they not? And so anybody who was there that day, there were millions of us, folks. They could have pulled any of us aside and say, you were part of the insurrection. And you would say, no, I wasn't. I was just there supporting our president. Yeah, but all those people that walked down there and broke windows, weren't you part of that group? Said, well, no, I wasn't really part of that group. Well, aren't you MAGA? Yeah, I'm MAGA. Well, you're part of that group. You're guilty. That's what they've done to you, isn't it, Isaac?
That's absolutely true. And here's the problem with that. You are absolutely right. They could go based on what they've been doing for these past 2 years, whatever, they could go after anybody that was not only just there, but that was just supportive, even if they weren't there. And so what it's doing is there are so many people out there with really good information. You know what I mean? Stuff that they saw, the government involved in, things that they saw. We've got tons of witnesses out there that we could pull into these trials, but they're afraid. And not only are they afraid, but even those of us who are defendants are afraid to even tap them on the shoulder. We don't want to get them involved. We're happy to just, like, you know what, if the government isn't going after you, we'll leave you alone. Because you know, you start getting some good stuff going and they're going to start looking at these witnesses and going, oh, you were there? You saw something? Well, we'll prosecute you too. We'll throw you in jail. How dare you lift your hand? How dare you come up and start speaking truth?
Yeah, you know your place, boy. You keep your place here. How dare you speak out against the government? Now, friends, I don't know if you're aware of this or not. First of all, when we come back from the break, I'm going to have Isaac tell you about the arrest. Don't you all wonder how that happened? Did they come right away? Anyway, we'll get that. But can you imagine going and trying to get a jury? We call it a jury of our peers, although that word really isn't in the Constitution. But it's supposed to be a jury of your peers, people who think like you, act like you, live with you. And there aren't any peers for Isaac Yoder in Washington, D.C. We know from the recent election, I'm not making this up, friends, about 90% of people in Washington, D.C., that conglomerate, 90% voted for Joe Biden. 90%. So Isaac Yoder is supposed to go on trial in Washington, D.C. with a jury pool that are 90% against him to begin with. That's why you said, I can't win a trial jury of my peers. Maybe I can get a good deal with a judge. And that didn't work out either, did it?
Mm-mm.
Amen. Amen. So, Isaac, when we come back, first of all, Mr. Producer, throw up his GoFundMe page, whatever that is. Look at this guy. He's a locksmith, for heaven's sakes. Who do you know in America today that's a locksmith that just has learned to use his hands and provide a valuable resource? There's his wife, Kelly. They're three wonderful children. He looks really threatening, doesn't he? Really, really threatening. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to have Isaac tell you about how the arrest took place, what he did, how he volunteered to go in, having no plan or anything like that to try to do anything. So, friends, let me tie this together. I'm kind of bouncing around because I got a million thoughts in my mind. It really happened 22 years ago today when those planes flew into the towers and they told us the Muslims did it. You remember that? You guys remember that? Bin Laden, let's go get Bin Laden. Let's go destroy all of the Middle East. Let's start a war over there, huh? Well, we're going to come and get you. Go, America. I hate the Muslims. We hate the Middle East. Go, go, go. And look where we are, folks. With the introduction of the Patriot Act, they're now spying right now, probably, on my cell phone right now. They certainly tracked Isaac. They certainly, when I was in Washington, D.C., they certainly pinged my phone to find out where I was at particular times, folks. All of that came about as a result of the Unpatriot Act. Boy, we got a lot to talk about, don't we? We come back, we'll hear from Isaac about how the arrest took place and some things that happened after that. Hang in there with us. We'll be right back.
The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Your own government has the power to activate a kill switch on all telecommunications, instantly shutting down all private phone calls and texts. An EMP weapon or solar flare can achieve the same result. Rolling blackouts or permanent power outages will also take out the power supply to cell tower antennas, rendering mobile devices all but useless. During these emergencies, how do you stay in touch with the important people in your life anywhere on the planet? The answer is the Bivy Stick at SAT123.com. The Bivy Stick is a two-way satellite text messaging device that uses a satellite constellation, not cell towers, to send and receive text messages. It works anywhere on planet Earth, including in war zones or blackout areas. In unpredictable times, the Bivy Stick helps you stay connected when it matters most. Visit SAT123.com to get one while they're still available.
So let me tell you what I really like about Isaac Yoder, all right? Again, I've known him since he's like 16 years old. Known him a long time. Done street ministry with he and his family. But by the way, folks, are you ready for this? Isaac, drop this bomb on him. Your father has how many grandchildren, Isaac? Look, folks, hang on, Isaac. Hang on. This is why they really hate him, okay? This is why they really, really hate us. Tell us, Isaac, how many brothers and sisters do you have? And tell us how many grandbabies your dad has.
So I'm one of nine. So I've got four brothers, four sisters. And just this in August, so the 50th grandchild was born. So
your dad has 50 grandbabies, right? 50. Folks, hey, folks, they hate Isaac Yoder. The devil hates Isaac Yoder. They hate him, friends. They hate him. They hate. I hate to keep singing this song. If you can't understand, folks, that this is the seed of the serpent, the devil, against the seed of the woman. If you can't understand, if you are so stupid that you think that Isaac Yoder and those people who showed up on 911, showed up on January 6th, deserve what happened to them. If you've been listening to the media, the government-supported media, and you believe that malarkey, then we deserve whatever it is that happens to us, friends. Whatever happens to us. And Isaac Yoder is nothing more than a locksmith in his town trying to raise a family, and decides he's going to go to Washington, D.C. with his friends and stand up for what he believes to have been a stolen election. And Isaac, tell us a story when you got home, because they didn't arrest you on the spot. Thanks to the Patriot Act, they were able to ping your phone and do all that other kind of stuff. But when did you get notification that maybe they were looking at you?
Yeah, it was in March of 21. The FBI just came down the road. Thankfully, they didn't come to my house, because you know that's really bad. But I was leaving for work, and they came along. They rolled their window down. They knew who I was. And they said, "We got to talk." And so I did talk to them, and I talked to them a couple times. They called me. You know, I went to their office, talked to them, and then the next time. They actually requested some of my stuff. They took my hat, my other hat. I still don't have it. They used it in court. My hat, my coat, and a couple of things that I wore on January 6th. What I want to say right quick is people say, well, you shouldn't have talked to them. And sometimes that's true. But here's the problem that we're not understanding. Our government right now is so out of control. They don't have respect for the law. They don't have respect for, you know, people who tried to just say, well, leave me alone. Next thing you know, their door gets kicked in and their house gets turned upside down. And now they're in real big trouble. And so some people say, well, you just should have, in essence, just play it smarter. They've got more stuff than you. They're going to come after you anyway. And that's not the beginning.
Patriot Act, right? The Muslims are coming. They get the Patriot Act. And they got all kinds of information on you that you don't even know they have.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so this is not to say don't be smart. This isn't to say just lay down and let him run over you. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying they are not abiding by the law of our country. And so people say, well, you do this because if you do this, then they can't do this. And it's like, well, watch them do it anyway. They'll do it anyway. And so that's how that started. Then in August is when I had to turn myself in. And that was just a very unnerving experience. I mean, even though I was able to turn myself in, they didn't come pick me up. You know, just for a couple hours. But I think that was just to kind of be like, okay, we got you. They put you in all these chains. It's ridiculous. They're just going through the motions of like booking you and all that, but you got to be all chained up. And then they put this paper in front of you. Okay, sign this and you can get out for now. Well, I'm all chained up. How am I supposed to sign something? Like, it doesn't feel... And then since that time when I turned myself in till now, I've been on probation. And it's pre-trial. So it's like people don't seem to understand that it's like even without going to prison, even all like you're under their thumb. I can't have, you know, firearms in the house. It's just all this stuff that they're just doing where you're now under their thumb until you get through the system.
What are the four things that they charged you with? And I'm sure found guilty of, right? Misdemeanors, I believe. What were the charges that they levied on you from that day? By the way, you admit you went into the building, but you didn't really do anything other than go in the building, right? Right?
Yeah.
So what did they charge you with?
So what they charged me with was four misdemeanors. One was... it was trespassing. One was violent entry. The next one was disorderly conduct. And then the last one was picketing and parading in a Capitol building.
Violent entry. You walked in the door. You walked in the door. Right?
Yeah. You walked in the door? You know, The interesting thing about that is they have footage of me walking in the door. They have almost that whole thing on video, and that was played in the trial. They saw it. You could not misconstrue that to be violent entry. You know, there's so many people. You know, again, it's like this buffet line. People are just waiting. You know, you're just walking in line. It's not. There's nothing violent about that.
And the judge, they find you guilty on that charge, Isaac?
Yes, they did. All four. They did. And that, to me, that right there showed me they wasn't trying. I mean, they weren't trying to even. It wasn't even like he's trying to put on a good show of, well, I'm trying to be fair here. But maybe you didn't do this, but you did this over here. No, he just signed off on all of them. And so for that, these four misdemeanors,
Isaac, go through the four misdemeanors again so it sinks in on people what they charge you with. Parading,
disorderly conduct, violent entry, and trespassing. Well, and it's all knowingly. See, they say all this stuff in the statute, it's knowingly. Knowingly and with the intent to do this.
Knowingly trespassed, huh? You didn't think you were trespassing. Knowingly violently entering. Knowingly, right? Knowingly. Yeah. And you didn't know any of it. You were just following the crowd.
Yeah. And knowing, you know, the thing is, too, knowingly parading. What makes one person parading and another not? What if you were just there taking a tour of the Capitol? Oh, well, you're parading.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, my goodness. This is the folly that our judicial system has become. So, Isaac, what did the feds want as a sentence for you, violent, flag-carrying, pointed hat-wearing patriot? What did the federal government want to do to you?
So what they asked for was 13 months prison and like $16,000 in fines or whatever. And a year of, well, how much? I don't know
36
how. 36 months of probation and then some community service. So what the judge gave me, though, he gave me 12 months prison and a year parole. And then the fine was just like, you know, around $1,500 or something like that. But to this, so the sentence that I got for prison time was the highest sentence so far for those four misdemeanors.
So I'm just pausing because I'm just trying to run this through my head. I was there, Isaac, right? I was there. I saw the lines of people. They're just gone. You were just following the like he says, like a buffet line. Where's this line going? I don't know. Oh, let's get in this line. Let's see where this line goes. And I stood outside. I made it to the top of the hill, and I stood outside. I could have gone in. The doors were open. People were, dare I say it, parading. But I didn't know I was part of a parade. Everybody was going in. And I wonder how many people like you, maybe others, who'd never been in the Capitol, thought, I want to go in here and see what this looks like, right? This is the people's house. I've come all this way here, never been in there. And you go in there, the police are waving at, they're not waving at you, but they're standing there, they're letting you go through. And did it ever dawn on you at any time, Isaac, that you were breaking the law?
No. Yeah, no, of course not. Yeah. And again, you trust when, especially when you're in a situation where it's just a lot of people, a lot of stuff, it's just, you look to law enforcement for any kind. And I definitely was, you know, I've been in situations where, you know, like when we're out on the street and different things and, you know, there's always law enforcement present and they will always communicate with you if they don't want you to do something or if they want you to go here or do that or that. In fact, they over-communicate. And I was looking to them for any kind of directives or guidance, like, you know, you want me to not go here to do what? So there's nothing, they're fine. In fact, once I was in the Capitol, there was a time where I even tried to say something to an officer. And it's just like, they didn't even want to talk. Now, at a certain point, an officer did finally say something to me while I was, after I had, you know, gone into the crypt, I was on my way out. And then so he did finally say something to me, but they weren't even interested in talking.
So Isaac, you get in your car and you drive back home. I'm what, 12 hours, 14? I don't know. It's a long way out there. I mean, I know where you live. That's a long way out there. Did you ever on your way home think, boy, I'm in trouble. I got to get out of this. Never entered your mind, did it?
No.
Folks, this is unbelievable. And this is happening to hundreds, if not thousands. In fact, didn't they tell you, Isaac, that they have, how many thousands did they say are still out there they're looking at? Were you the one that told me that or not?
How many they're looking at?
Still investigating, still want to lock up guys who are parading, violent entry. Folks, it's just made up stuff.
So the number would be around 1,000 that are currently have been, you know, either prosecuted or being prosecuted. But as far as what they're reaching for, I don't know.
My goodness. Let me ask you this without getting personal. Does this cost you a lot of money, Isaac? Did you have to go out and hire your own attorney, or did you get, dare I say it, friends, a public defender who, by the way, is paid for by the government, right? Folks, if you get a public defender, he works for the Justice Department. You do understand that, don't you? Right? So, Isaac, were you able to hire, do you have a whole bunch of money? You go out and hire a real bulldog attorney, come up with $150,000 and defend yourself with this bulldog attorney? Or did you have to trust this government-hired public defender?
Yeah, we just went with the public defender. The thing is, we looked into, I thought, you know, we were raising some money for an attorney, but we couldn't find one that was really excited about, oh yeah, well let's go do this. Also, even if you could find one that was decent, yeah, the price is just way out there. You know, you would have to spend so much money on that. And so we're finally just like, just going to go with the public defender. I mean, he worked.
Friends,
with
this
me
is something, listen, this is important. You understand this, friends. This is something called lawfare. L-A-W-F-A-R-E, lawfare. Warfare, lawfare. Now, if Isaac Yoder, even if Isaac Yoder is found not guilty, it would have cost him more than we can even imagine what it would have cost him. And if he would go out and hire an attorney of his own, $50,000, $100,000, who knows, whatever. There's something wrong when we live in a government, in a country where it makes you broke to prove you're innocent. That's really what you're looking at, isn't it, Isaac? You could have got out and you could have borrowed $100,000 and bought a high-powered attorney and maybe got off, but it would have cost you $100,000 to prove your innocence. That's not the way our system's supposed to work.
No, it's not. In fact, I guess I was under the impression that they were going to have to prove something at trial. That's not the case at all. They don't have to prove anything. In fact, all they did was prove that their whole case was ridiculous. It didn't matter. It worked for them. They just put the guilty stamp on it. And it's a wake up for anyone who thinks that there's any shred of honesty left, especially in these trials. No, they're doing what they want.
When do you report, Isaac? Have they even told you that? So they sentenced you to a year. Folks, put Mr. Producer, put that GoFundMe, goes whatever the picture up there again. Folks, this young man on his birthday here today walked into the U.S. Capitol, standing up for his God-given constitutional right to petition his government. Look at that beautiful family he has. And the government wants you to believe, and I to believe, that justice is best served by taking this man away from his family, locking him up for a year, that somehow that's justice. But Isaac, your attitude about this is unbelievable, because you said the other day when I had you on my daily show, hey, you know, it is what it is. If the honors of the Lord, if that's what the Lord wants me to do, then, hey, I'm going to suck it up and do it. Is that really how you feel?
Yes, sir. Well, the thing is, when you know how it is, you get into the battle and it is about, I mean, what we want, you know, I mean, it's, we want to win this. Like, we want God to be glorified. We want him to be lifted up. We want the evil to be exposed. You know, we're just sick. You know, you're just so sick of, like, man, I'm sick of the lies. I'm sick of all this stuff. And when you have an opportunity to really deal a blow to that, whatever that is, then yes, it's like, I'm honored to be a part of that. And if going to prison for a year is going to help wake people up and go, what are we doing? This is crazy. Well, then that's how it's got to be. You know, it's when you talk to some of these, there's some attorneys you talk to, their mindset is always do what you got to do to get the softest, most, you know, so nothing happens to
top
you.
Top of like, plea here, right? Top of plea, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like that, not if you've got a compromise. No, it's like the whole point is we're standing up for what is right. And if God, however God is going to use that, because at the end of the day, he will give us the grace and he's going to give me the grace and my family, my kids. You know, that's the part I really hate. Like my youngest, he's 3. He doesn't understand this, you know. And so I hate the thought of really a year, man, being away from him for a year. I don't like that. But they're going to be okay. My kids are going to be okay. God is going to use this and they are going to be better. It's going to make them better. And I know that God is going to use this to make just to mold their character. They're going to lean in closer to God. God is going to do some amazing things with this. I know he's, I'm excited about that. I really am. And I don't know how this is all going to turn out, but God is doing something here. And that is something that does excite me.
Well, we do know this, don't we, Isaac? That I don't care what sport it is. I don't care what war it is. There's no such thing as a victimless war. Some folks, innocent people. I did my show this morning at CoachDaveLive.com on 911, which is today, right? What happened? Where were you on that fateful day and all that stuff? And do we have any idea, folks, how many people's lives were destroyed by the lies of our government on 911, even to this very day, continue to be destroyed? And so when a guy like Isaac Yoder, a guy like Coach Dave, whoever it would be, tries to stand up and push back against this stuff, do you understand that it's war? Do you understand that the other side is looking for victims? Do you understand that there's a battle between the serpent and the woman? Do you understand that one's going to crush his head, that Satan's head is going to get crushed? But it doesn't mean that during the battle, during the before they, pardon the pun, the atomic bomb gets dropped by God, doesn't mean there aren't going to be casualties along the way. And we have to understand that if it is a war, some people are going to get hurt. It's a reality of it. However, that doesn't mean we just sit back on our haunches and take it. I know Isaac. I know his character. He don't want to just take it. He's livid. His friends are livid of what they've done to us. But Isaac, the truth of the matter is, I brought this up on the show the other day. You call your conservative Republican representatives there in Missouri. Are they fighting over themselves to come and help you, Isaac?
No, they're throwing up their hands saying there's nothing they can do. Nothing they can do. It's surprising because usually they try to at least give some sort of a good speech that makes them look good. With this, they're just admitting defeat. They're just like, there's nothing we can do. I think that has not been emphasized enough. Like, I don't think our country realizes how pathetic these people are, like how pathetic they're acting and just this, can't do anything. It's not acceptable. These are our highest up leaders, and they're saying there's nothing they can do.
So they have no power, right? It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. Mr. Producer, throw his donation page back up there again. Hey, friends, we don't know what's going to happen, but if you would go to which one is this? This is Go Sin Go. I always get lost on these folks. Isaac could use your support. As you can see, others that have given to him, he's raised money, but he may have to be away from his family for a year, friends. By the way, Isaac, let's back up real quick. Your family, somebody had set up for you a defense fund, and they wanted to take the money from you out of your defense fund. Isn't that right? Tell that story real quick.
Yeah, the government was asking for to take the money out of the defense fund for fines and stuff because they're like, he shouldn't be capitalizing on this. Basically, he's making money off this whole thing. it was so bad. You know, this is what couldn't be confusing. Even the judge was just like, he said, no, that's inappropriate. We're not going to do that. He kind of rebuked the government a little with that, which is kind of odd because everything else he just seemed totally corrupt on. But with that, he's just like, no, that's not appropriate.
Folks, think this through with me here, Isaac. We just got about a minute left. So Isaac Yoder is a good, hardworking guy. He's a locksmith out in Missouri. He pays his taxes, does everything right. He hires a congressman. He hires a senator. He hires a Justice Department, who hires lawyers, who hire judges, who hire stenographers, who hire office workers. So Isaac Yoder is sending his tax dollars to the government, paying for them to persecute him. That's what's really going on, isn't it, Isaac? And for you to have to defend yourself, they take money out of your paycheck, make you pay to persecute yourself, and then force you to raise more money to defend yourself. What a wicked system. You got 30 seconds, buddy. Wrap it up here for us.
Okay. Well, again, just thank you so much for having me on. This is so amazing. And we're just going to see what God does with this. As of now, I don't know the report date. We haven't got that. I don't know where they're going to put me in that yet, but we're just waiting on that. And we're just going to look to God in this and see what he's going to do.
God's going to send you on a mission trip. If he sends you, he's going to send you there, huh?
We
stand with you, brother. I'm proud of you. I wish I had your balls when I was your age. You keep fighting. Say hi to your wife and hug your kids. God bless you.
I'll do that.
Amen. We'll see you next week.